So if we wanted to go to 50% for all our, you know, buildings to get them fixed up, to get all this depreciation down to 50, we need $100 million more. So $80 million to the schools, $100 million for a new high school, $100 million for to get all our buildings and equipment up to a 50% level. We need another $100 million for the water department. I mean, you know, we probably could borrow $200 million. You said we're in the green with that. We could probably go out and borrow. But if we go out and borrow, what does that mean? It means the minimum requirement payments are going to go higher and higher. So my point is, if we plugged all that stuff in here over like the next 30 years, $200, $300 million in bonds, what's it going to do to this? What are we going to be, you know, $25 million in debt? We can't keep borrowing. We have to cut some things. We have to cut the expenses that we're paying for these retirement programs that are unsustainable. Take that money back. And just one last point. We talked about the school department has an OPEB liability of $50 million. Their employees go off the system at 65. We're at 350 or even maybe higher because they got a crazy discount rate. I'm just going to say this at a minimum. If you mirrored the school department, you would probably save at least $300 million. That $10 million that you're paying every single year, the school department's paying $600,000, $700,000 for a retired employee. You would save almost $10 million a year. Imagine what you could do with $50 million over the next 5 years, right? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about kicking people to the streets or whatever. We're talking about what's the priorities in the city. If you're getting an $85,000, $90,000 pension, I don't think you should be getting free lifetime health care. If you're 80 years old and you're a widower or something like that, you could talk about things like that. But those are the decisions you have to make. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? You just identify yourself for the record.
Dan Pizzatoro. I'm trying to give you solutions to maybe the problems that you have because I'm a victim of the solutions. And any of your councilmen can ask me any question while I go through this. You won't be interrupting me. I taught for 30 years, figuring that I would have a COLA. When it came to the time that I had a COLA, I think you have to wait 3 years before the COLA kicks in. It did kick in. I experienced it for 2 years. And then our governor decided that COLAs were too expensive for the state. It was an $8.2 billion budget that she had for COLAs for teachers and state employees. And she told us that we had to take a haircut. And we took a haircut and eliminated the COLAs completely. That is costing my family $3,000 a year. My wife was a school psychologist for 30 years. As a result of that, I went out to Connecticut, taught for 16 more years to subsidize our income. And I worked at a Brewster's on Allen's Avenue for about 15 years at 3% commission to supplement it. And I was in the Air National Guard for 24 years. The reason we got cut as teachers was because we were the low-hanging fruit. As retirees, we didn't have a union. We had a rally at the State House. There were like 3,000 people there. My wife and I went. I thought that we would have no problem because I saw two trucks that said AFL-CIO. And I said, Joan, we don't have a problem. We'll just shut down the state. That didn't happen. It didn't happen because we didn't have a union as retirees. Now, why am I bringing this up? It might be the low-hanging fruit that you may have to go for. I'm a solutions type person. You have firemen that are retired and policemen that are retired. Teachers already took their cut for COLAs. Am I right, Mr. Thornton? Yeah, they took it. And also, they don't have health for life. When you're 65, it drops, and you have to pick up Medicare, and then you have to supplement it with some other health program. So you have retirees that do not have legal authority or a union that as hard as the people that are actually working as firemen and policemen. That could be a solution for you. And that'll save you a great deal of money. Now, firemen and policemen, do they stop at 65 and go onto Medicare? Or does the city continue to pay? I don't know.
a little bit of both, depending on when they came in.
Okay. So they would probably have to do what teachers have been doing for the past, I think it happened in 2011 or something like that. So do you have any questions about how you could possibly do this? Believe me, they don't have they don't have an established union. They will fight you. The policemen and firemen will fight you. They will try to get you. We had lawyers. There were 65 of us, and we challenged the authority whether it was a real contract. Now, in 69, when I started, I figured that after 30 years, I'd have a COLA, and I signed the forms, the whole thing. And then when it came to the 30 years and I retired, the COLA was cut. And they told us, it doesn't matter. And we had a judge, I won't mention his name. We talked to him, and he actually told us, go ahead, challenge it. You might win in court, and they may say you had a legal contract, but he said then the legislators will just change the wording, and you'll have to start all over again. So he said, don't do it. You're wasting your money. And all the lawyers just folded and folded and folded that we had hired. So we took the haircut. So if you have any questions, ask. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. But that's how you can do it. And it won't be easy. You guys will get so much. And teachers are not militant. If you do something like that, you will have firemen and policemen all over this place staring you down. But when they did this to teachers, teachers are not militant. And they don't fight like firemen and policemen will fight. So if you do that route, expect to have a tough route. But teachers are very easygoing. They're sacrificial lambs, and that's what happened. That's how we took a cut in Alcoa. I was ready. I was a union person for a number of years, and I was ready to shut down the state. I didn't give a damn because we thought we had a 3% COLA. It wasn't compounded. I don't know why whether it comes up a compounded COLAs. I mean, you get your 3%, let's say, whatever it is, and next year you get 3% on the principal. But it doesn't keep going as an extensive amount like compounded COLAs that people have. So the other thing is, when your COLA is frozen, and teachers have frozen COLAs, and that means that let's say they get 65% of their, let's say they don't make 100,000. I mean, I retired at like 65,000, so I got 57% of that. And now I'm frozen. So if I was up here when I retired, and my cost of living was what it is, every year the cost of living goes higher, and I'm going lower and lower and lower, and I'm going to get to the poverty level eventually. Imagine that. Teachers that teach 30, 35 years eventually go into a poverty level after about 20 years after retirement. That's all I got. Any questions, gentlemen, ladies? Thank you.
Thank you. So identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Roger Durand. Let me begin by thanking you, Councilman Marola, Council President, for having this meeting. I heard the Councilman Lattisaw say he was here 10 years ago. I started 13 years ago. I can answer. I say I started here 13 years ago because of a tax increase. My neighbor had me come down here. Councilman Solomon was council president at the time. Candidly, he was going after the fire department for overtime. Boy, that never changes, huh? 13 years ago. But again, I want to thank you for having this meeting because I thought of something tonight. Of all the council meetings I've attended over the years, we spend more time in public safety talking about tire replacements than we do about the fiscal health of the city. Think about that for a minute. Think about the countless hours you spend here at council meetings talking about what pothole we hit. I'm not saying we shouldn't, by the way. I think the citizens should be heard. But when do we discuss the important issues? Pensions and health care? Never. So let me make a suggestion. Why don't you set up a committee, a city council committee, called the Fiscal Outlook Committee, and once a month inform the taxpayers as to what's going on with the fiscal condition of the city. Just a suggestion, because I know you're always looking for solutions. And I appreciate what Mr. Lattisaw, Councilman Lattisaw, Mr. Howe, Mr. McAllister do at the Finance Committee. But think, what we're talking about tonight is millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. So again, thank you for having this meeting. I think it's very appropriate. One of the comments I made 13 years ago, I went back and checked my notes. At the time, some of you might have remembered some of the older members of the City Council, and I don't say that in a pejorative sense, but you might remember watching the Super Bowl with John Hancock, used to run commercials. Real people, real problems. And I got up and I talked about that. Let me talk about it tonight. I'm hearing all this chatter. I haven't been to council meetings. I try to avoid them as much as possible. But I'm hearing all this chatter and I'm reading in a newspaper. We'll get into it in a couple minutes. But I'm confused. I'm really confused. Let's talk the real world to you. As I talked up at the State House about this, and you can check it on the internet 7 years ago about pensions and health care, we're having a philosophical discussion here tonight. Let's talk real world. My taxes went up 10% this year. So I hear how fantastic, and by the way, that's not a reflection on the present mayor, Mayor Solomon. As Councilman Lattisaw talked about, these problems have been originating for 18 years. I know who caused the problems, Avedisian. Because I talked to him 13 years ago about this. We saw this coming 13 years ago regarding pensions and health care. It got us nowhere. But having said that, I'm confused. I read in the paper about S&P evaluations, $5.5 million surplus. And I'm writing out a check today to the city of Warwick with a 10% tax increase. So where I live, it doesn't look good. So we can talk all we want about how great things are. And again, it's not a reflection on this council, nor is it a reflection on this mayor. Solomon, all these problems originated in the past. So let's talk about the tax increase. One of the things that really perturbed me, I happened to go back and check the tape the other day when the healthcare actuary was here. I almost fell off the chair when he says, well, in New York, they have a law. You just referred to it, Councilman McAllister. Well, they have a law where they don't even have to record their OPEB obligations. Excuse me? Are you serious? So I went and did a Google search today. I happened to be born in New York. I lived there until my father got transferred up here, and I went to Hendricken. But I know I meet in Florida over the winter. All the people from New York and New Jersey say, we can't afford anymore. We're leaving. The taxes are too high. So, Mr. McAllister, let me give you 2 points. You referred to New York State tonight. New York State, according to, and I wrote it down, a business publication, the latest statistics in 2016-2017, the highest migration of any state in the union of people leaving the state because of high taxes is New York. That's point number one. Point number two is the second highest per capita indebtedness for citizens is New York State. You didn't make the comment, it was the actuarial. I wouldn't be setting us up as a model to follow New York State. Just a point. Now let's talk about the S&P rating. I bristled when I hear about that. We have a AA. Councilman Merola referred to it today. Back in 2008. Now I know this is dear to Mr. Councilman Corley when we talk about S&P. Well, S&P doesn't only affect the big boys. Let me tell you a little story. I have a copy here of an article. Again, Google's great. Absolutely fantastic. You can look up all this information. I happened to buy bonds. I'll tell you a little quick little story. I bought bonds, and I got members of my family to buy bonds, mortgage bonds, in 2008. Lake Mason in Providence sold them to me. Unfortunately, it was an IRA account. I couldn't even write off the indebtedness, the loss. Those bonds had AAA S&P rating, implied guaranteed by the United States government. That's what I was told. I had the documentation. I had my brother buy them. He still reminds me of it every day. I lost a lot of money on that. A lot of money. And it was an IRA account, so I couldn't write it off. It lost. So I did a Google search today. Interesting article last year, published by Motley Financial. I'm not going to read it to you, but what it does, not the whole thing. But what it says is, the rating agencies are always the last to know. That's the lead article. I'll give you cites, just one or two points. Everybody familiar with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You get a mortgage, they underwrite it. They talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac having a AAA rating the day they went into conservatorship. Broke. So we're quoting S&P like they're the gold standard. You ever hear of AIG, the insurance company? They had, what do you call it? They had an A rating the day they went bankrupt. Of course, we all remember Enron. They had an investment grade rating. So again, my point is, and I'm not going to belabor it on this, when I hear, in my particular case, a double A rating from S&P, I bristle. It means nothing to me. It's that piece of paper you can blow your nose with, in my book. I have a problem with it. But getting beyond that particular point, let's talk about what's driving the problems in the city of Warwick. It's pensions and health care. A comment was made, and again, by the way, thanks to the city council and the administration for having this all on the internet so you can go back and check it all, listen to it. You don't have to be here. You can listen to it. One of the council members asked Mr. Newton, our good friends from Gabriel and Rhoda. He made a comment, is there any bad news? Because Mr. Newton just gave a presentation to the city council. Everything's great. Our four pension plans, the only one we got a problem with is police and fire one. Everything else is terrific. I really think what the question should have been, not if there's any problems, The question should have been, how much does it cost us to bring our pension plans to where they are today? That's what the question should be. My point is this. I can make any pension plan look good, any pension plan, by putting enough money into it. That's not tough. So let me just ask a question. Mr. McAllister, I understand you do, your line of work is something to do with businesses or whatever, or a chamber of commerce or something along that idea. Have you ever heard when you're out in the marketplace, what's the average investment for a 401k that a company will make towards an employee's salary? Match? Do you have any idea? Well, on the internet, and I don't want to put you on the spot, I did a Google search today. The average 401k investment for people in private industry, 3%. So if you make a dollar, you get 3 cents put into it. Now let's go back to why I asked that question. Mr. Newton came up and said everything is fantastic in the pension programs. But at what cost? So let me ask the question. I went back and checked the actuarial tables on the city website for the last contract. If a policeman makes a dollar, how much are we putting his or her retirement pay, a check every month? Anybody want to guess? I told you what the national average is, 3 cents. Anybody want to guess? 32 cents. That's for police too. Fire too, 26 cents. By the way, it just went up by 6% last year after reading the actuarial tables. Municipal, 20 cents. Quite a difference. Now, by the way, I'm not saying they shouldn't get that. That's not what I'm saying. Because we've been through with Mr. Newton from Gabriel Rota. I'm not going to bore you, Mr. McAllister, but you talked about 6.9% return. I, as well as one other member who testified here tonight, had an argument on this floor with Gabriel Rota when he had us up at 8%. And we tell him it should be 6.5, but we wouldn't even go there on that one. But again, my question to you is, these are the questions that have to be asked because the taxpayers are being hit hard. And again, this is no reflection on the existing administration, nor this council. I want to keep bringing that up. I don't want it published in the paper tomorrow that I'm picking on the current administration or I'm picking on this council, because I'm not. I had many a conversation with Mayor Avedisian on this point at this microphone, which Ms. Travis and Mr. Lattisaw and Mr. Marola can attest to. So this isn't something new. I was after Scott Avedisian for years on this. Nothing was done. That's why we're here today. Another question I'll ask before we get into health care. Gentleman was just up, retired teacher, talking about the COLA. We're giving out 3%, by the way, we're giving out 3% compounded COLAs, not simple COLAs, compounded. Anybody want to guess for the last 10 years what Social Security has averaged? Did a Google search on that today. 1.5% in Social Security for the last 10 years. And we're paying 3% compounded. By the way, the average Social Security payment per month, Mr. Lattisaw just mentioned, $9,000, $8,000, $7,000, $1,460. Average Social Security. So go to your neighbors who live in the city of Warwick. That's their average. By the way, the one thing that doesn't tell you, though, that doesn't deduct the health care for Medicare. It's about $150 a month. So now you're down to $1,300 a month for your average Social Security. What's the math on that, Ed? $15,000 a year? These are the people who are paying these taxes that we give out. By the way, I told Councilman Marola mentioned this. I used to tell Scott Avedisian, you give out benefits like the cotton candy. By the way, I used to be screamed at and everything else, but that's beside the point. But anyhow, those are just a couple examples before we get into health care. So again, this problem just didn't originate. And I've been talking about this problem for 13 years. I went up to the State House and testified about how ridiculous this thing is in the city of Warwick. In fact, Angel Travaris was mayor of Providence at the time. So Google it. It's on the internet. You can listen to it. The only other thing I would ask before we get into health care, I always hear touted in quotes the 2012 pension reform that the mayor did, ex-mayor did. Has anybody ever seen it? Who designed it? Does anybody know? I hear this 2012, we redesigned the pension plan. Who did it? Because I can tell you what I heard. I heard it was a couple city employees did it. I don't know if that's true. That's what I heard. That's not acceptable. By the way, was it an actuarial study done? I can tell you this. Mayor Avedisian did not do an actuarial study on the pension, prescription drug. Because I asked him here at this. He told me he did, and then I called his chief of staff the following day. She told me he didn't do it. Then I called the personnel director and said it doesn't exist. So we're now paying over $4 million a year for health care, for prescription drugs, and there was no actuarial study done? This is the real world here. This is what's gone on. This is what Councilman Lattiser referred to 18 years ago. Nobody cared. But again, my question is, maybe Mr. Lattiser, do me a favor. Find out where the actuarial report is for the 2012 pension reform that Avedisian used to brag about, because I'm sure it doesn't exist, but I'd like to see it if it does. Now, my next thing is, let's get into health care. Council President, could you tell me what our exact number is for unfunded now? Because, you know, I'm confused.
I would defer to Kyle on that. I think it was 352.
How much is that? The city was 350. But that's with the 3%.
Right.
That's with the 3% return.
Yes.
Which we're not getting. Correct. So let's deal real numbers. What's it, $90 million more, I think you said?
Yes.
So it's at 350, it's going to late. 430? No, 440. What am I saying? It's 350, yeah, 100 before. All right, so 440 million. So our ARC payment is 30, how much 34, is our ARC?
34.
34 million a year. So how can we be in good shape if our maximum tax increase is $8 million a year and our ARC's 34? I don't know. Sound logical to you, Councilman? How can we be in good shape? Now, besides the fact we don't pay the ARC payment, I mean, I guess that's irrelevant. But one of these days, we're going to have to pay it. So again, I don't know what S&P's talking about. Was there an actuarial report done for lifetime health care? Anybody know? Ed, could you check on that? Lifetime health care, was there an actuarial report done? I mean, we're paying all this money, and nobody can answer, not you, it's not direct to you, but that should be a document that everyone on this council should be reviewing. We went into prescription drugs, and I guess the last thing was, right now, we're paying $10.5 million for retiree health care, and it's $600,000 on the city side, on the school side. What I always say is we don't have to go to Stockton, California to make a comparison. All we got to do is walk up the street to our sisters over and brothers over at the school department and say, that's what you're paying. Shouldn't that be what we're paying on the city side? I mean, it only makes sense. By the way, are we still paying lifetime health care for 20 hour a week employees? Is that still relevant? I mean, can you believe that? I know we did in the past. We paid lifetime health care for people working 20 hours a week part-time. By the way, you can start collecting. It used to be at 54. I think it's now 59. This gets back to what former Councilman Cushman just said. Nobody knows. This should be that's a discussion for the Warwick Fiscal Overlook Committee that I just suggested to you. This is where we should be discussing. As much as I want to talk about tires and public safety, and all due respect, Councilman Sinappi, that's not solving our problems. We could write checks to people coming and give them $500. Don't take our time. We should be addressing this issue. So anyhow, it's getting late. Appreciate your time. Let me just make one comment, one question. Let me leave with a question, because I could be here another 3 hours, but I'm not going to waste your time. Here's my question for you. Who is going to have the intestinal fortitude on this council to have a realistic discussion with the city employees? And this is the question. Explain to the taxpayers how we can pay you private industry wages and public employee benefits. Can't do it anymore. We cannot pay private industry wages and public employee benefits. And somebody, because start talking to the taxpayers, because we're the ones paying for it, and we need an answer to that question. Thank you very much, and I will not be back in 13 years, I promise.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak? Yes.
My name is Michael Pellisar.
You could just talk into the mic so we could hear you.
My name is Michael Pellisabrin. I've heard a lot of things tonight. I could go in long discussions. Councilman Morello, we've had it, and a few others have had long conversations over the last week over an issue. The bottom line is, now you had said something, and I don't know who you are because I can't see you because I'm blind. But I can tell you one thing, even a blind man can see that this is bad. You were saying how people can afford the debt and they can't afford it. We have debt. I have debt. We all have debt. You know what you do in the real world? Your wife or your husband, you go out, you get an extra job. You find something away, make extra funds. We are in the 21st century and we're having a 19th to 20th century conversation. We can fix this. You need to run the city like a business. I don't want to go over numbers. I want to know the numbers, but I don't want to sit in a council meeting and hear all numbers. I want to hear what the plan is. What are you going to do? I heard the 5-year, but I want to know, what is your plan? You're all residents as well. You're all affected by what goes in the city. Pay attention. Listen to what the people are saying. Numbers are great, but you know what? All the middle class, which is predominantly what's in Warwick, we shouldn't be in this situation. They're all sitting there going, what's going on? What are you going to do? They don't want the numbers. They don't want long debates. What is your answer about fixing the community? And it's not just you. It's Mayor Solomon. And let me tell you something. I know about a complacent mayor who was in here for 19 years. And all I hear is about advertising this, and that in the past. I don't care about the past. That's gone. It's done. We're buried. What are we doing for the future? What are we doing for the present? I don't care about the past administrations. You're the current administration. Now, I've talked to several of you, and you have a firm commitment in the community. You tell me things. You told me things that what you felt, same things I felt. Do your job. Isn't it what Bill Belichick says? I don't want big debates. I want answers, and I want projections, and I want results. And we can get results. Past administrations be damned. Aberdeen did run the city down. We all know that. I don't need to keep hearing it. I want to see what you're going to do, and I absolutely want to see what Solomon's going to do. I'm going to tell you something honestly. I have no tact. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a bullshit story. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't like Solomon. I want to see action. You can tell me all the things you want. All I hear is he blames Aberdeen. Prove to me that you're committed to your community by fixing the community, because that's all we want. And the discussion I had with you, hold other companies and the airport accountable. The airport only pays $500,000 or around $600,000 a year. We send our fire and police apparatus that costs us $1.5 million minimum. We're in the red already. That's not going into the future. Why should we be responsible for the airport? Why isn't the state kicking in? Everybody in the state uses the airport. Why are not all 39 communities supporting us, helping us? Why should we carry the burden for the airport? They've had expansions. They take thousands of homes. What have they given back to the community? These people need to be held accountable. They're part of the community. They need to pay for it. Again, we just do our jobs. You respect the city? You love the city? Then show the city. Stop giving me words and start giving me action. That's what we need. That's what we need for Solomon. That's what we need from you. And that's what we need from the school administration, which if I went down that road, we'd be here for hours. We've got negative national attention to an inept personality that's running it. We don't need this stuff. We're a great community. We have such potential. The airport, the train station, we have the hotels, we are the best community in the state. But what do we have to show? When people come flying into our airport, and what do they see? The roads aren't kept up, the school system's rated 23rd, 24th in the state. I'm embarrassed. I love this community. So don't give me big projections. Don't give me big numbers. Just do it. We can do it. That's all I've got to say, and I really do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that'd like to speak? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make it known, because I heard a lot of remarks made, that I do not take health care from the city of Warwick. So I am not one of the lifetime health care going to be getting, okay? I also work three jobs. So I'm in the same categories of a lot of people out there that are worried about taxes. But unless we work together, and that was brought up many times, that everybody's got to be working together, it's not going to happen. Things are not going to move. It's been brought up many times. Some of people had great ideas. We're going forward, and then some other people would not agree to it, or one person wanted it, some people didn't like it. Unless we work together, it's not going to happen. But don't think everything's peachy creamy just because some of us are all council people, because it's not. I work three jobs. I work hard. I have a sick husband. And it's not easy. It's not easy to run a household and pay the bills and put up, have taxes going up. So don't think that we're out there to make the people, the taxpayers, pay for everything. We got a lot to do. We have the roads. We have the schools. I had a water break last night in my area. And the sewer issues again. No, the pipes in my area are very old. And I know it's the same thing in all of the other wards. But unless we all work together, and that means everybody, it's not going to happen. So hopefully we all can work together. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So we were asked a question earlier. And the question was, what's the first step? And the last gentleman who was just up here speaking, I think he hit the nail on the head. And the first step is respect. Respect each other. Respect the taxpayers. Respect the responsibility that we all have in this. Everyone has a right to their opinions. All the members of the public and the taxpayers, they have a right to come to that podium and give their opinions and recommendations and suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. So do the elected officials. I happen to respect the fact that one or two or three of my colleagues may have a different perspective on this problem that we have. We all know we have a problem. We might differ as to the extent of the problem, but we all know we have a problem. Nobody here is saying we don't. But everybody has a right to their opinion. And we are not going to fix anything unless we respect that right. The council folks who spoke tonight that maybe had a different opinion than I had, that doesn't mean they were wrong and that I was right or vice versa. It means they had the courage to speak on this mic and give us a different spin as to how they perceive the issue. Maybe more significant than some, maybe not. But I think the answer to the question is, what's the first step? And the first step is to respect. Respect we have a problem. Respect everybody's right to give their perception as to what might be the better way to fix it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi.
So this is for Kyle. Council President Morolla had a question about, I honestly can't recall the exact specifics, but you said you needed the active plan members to be able to answer it. And I got the annual statement for the City of Warwick. We had 369 for the city as of July 1st, 2017, and 336 for the school department as of the same date for active plan members.
Do you have the retiree numbers as well?
So the inactive ones?
Yeah, correct.
So for inactive for the city was 379 and plus another 31, so a total of 779 for the city. And then for the school department, 146 plus another 25, a total of 507 for the school department.
So if the question is if the non-school employees were to go on Medicare at 65 like the school employees did, is that what the question was? What would that liability represent?
I think that's what we're trying to estimate, because it was a $352 million liability compared to a $50 million liability.
Right. Just based off of math, and I'm not an actuary, so this is just an estimate, it'd probably be somewhere between 50 and 100 million, just because there's slightly more actives and slightly, and maybe 200 more inactive and retirees. So that's just a guess.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak?
Except what a council person just stated in terms of, in order to get things done, we have to all work together. I mean, what is this all work together bit? You know, the council and yourself, everyone here, you are the leaders of this city. We have looked at these numbers, and these numbers they're staggering as to what they show. I mean, this is just extrapolating what's here into the present, and they show you want an easy course, and we still got a problem. You get any deviation from that course over the future, and we got really bad problems. But yet, you know, you look around at this council members, and I listened. I wasn't sure if I heard that, geez, yeah, we recognize that this city has got financial problems ahead of us. I don't get that from the people I hear. I got it from two council people that, yes, we have a problem. We had to address them. You know, I specifically heard it from Councilman Lattisaur. You know, and he was the only one expressed any type of leadership that I heard coming out of you guys. He's the one who said, yeah, I think I have a plan. I'm going to go forward with it. Everyone else, nothing. You know, I heard people addressed or go into what the OPED liability situation is, or what the debt situation is for a pension plan. But then really, when it comes down to these numbers, it doesn't matter. Because you've got to address the expenditures coming forward. The liabilities will address themselves if you address the expenditures. If you look at what is considered to be a reasonable employee benefit plan or health plan, and you go and you recognize that and you implement it, that OPED liability is going down. It's just a natural thing. It'll happen. Don't isolate just on that liability. Look at this. Look at the expenditures and where you can attack them. But I didn't get that. I didn't get that from out of the council. I got it from, like I said, one person, Councilman Lattisaur. And it's not all working together. You know, we have the people in this audience are not going to work together to get this implemented. It's going to have to be you. And where is it coming from? Where is the intensity that says we're going to make changes in this city? I didn't hear it. And I didn't hear it from a kumbaya moment. That's absurd. There's no person in this audience who's going to make the changes. It's up to you guys. And it's up to you guys to grab the ball, you know, and move forward. Sure, you're going to get pushback. But you always got to get pushback. I was talking to one of the councilmen before this meeting. At one point, a gentleman came up here. He said the teachers are, they're basically, they follow. But the teachers in the city, I can remember when they were out stoning the mayor's office when he tried to make changes. And it was prior to Avedisian. Avedisian didn't make any changes, and I think people pointed it out. A lot of this goes back to Avedisian. But there was teachers out there that were stoning the mayor's office. Nothing for the last 18 years, and we know why. We know the problems we're into. And this was because of people who weren't paying attention. And there were some people on this council who weren't paying attention because they let a lot of things slide and they want to go along with the mayor. But what we need is leadership, And we're looking forward to you guys to do it. Councilman Morola, Councilman Lattice, are you? You've spoken up in the past. Move forward with it. Make changes. That's what people expect. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Mike Underwood, Ward 4. I'm going to give a little background information about myself first. I grew up in Warwick. I went to John Brown. I went to Aldrich, and I went to Pilgrim. Two of those schools are closed now. The sports fields used to be great in this city. I graduated Pilgrim. I went in the Coast Guard, did 23 years of honorable service. I'm also a disabled vet. At no point in my career is my retirement benefit going to be more than I was making when I was actually working. At no point. And from what I understand from Mr. Cushman's reports, we're looking at astronomical million-dollar retirements. I'm not getting that. And I put my life on the line in the Coast Guard. Not only was I a fireman, I was also a police officer on the water. So I did two of those jobs. I don't get extra money. Actually, I was supposed to get extra money, but because I'm disabled, I don't. Not at all. I put my life on the line for the North Cape Scandia tug and barge rescue. 30-foot seas, 80-mile-an-hour winds, and I went out and saved those people on that boat without a thought to my own safety. I'm never going to make more than I did when I was actually working. I don't get free health care for life. Not at all. In fact, the only thing I do get free is for myself, because I did over 20 years, I can go to the VA. I'm married. I have to pay for a family plan. It's not unbearable, but I still have to pay for it. And when I hit 65, I go on Medicare like everyone else. I can still keep using the VA, but my family can't. I'm not going to throw numbers around like everyone else has. We've all heard it. I was watching this on live stream driving here. I work two jobs still, even though I collect a retirement and a small disability, because I can't make it in this city. I came back here when I retired because I was proud to come home. I can't make it in this city. My house has been for sale since May. I've had three people in the door. No one wants to come here. People are knocking down buildings. Drive around town. Would you rather pay tax on a building and a lot? No. Knock the building down. Now you're only paying taxes on the lot. This is the direction we're going. My job in the Coast Guard was a bosun mate. We fix things. We take charge. We run the show. I ran for state rep twice because I saw this coming. And one of our own previous town council members put in that stupid piece of legislation called the Evergreen. If you want to get around that, I think I saw everyone kind of talking that they recognize the problem. You're going to have to do what some of these people have said and realize the fact that we're in a financial crisis. You need to fix this. As a bosun mate, my last two jobs, I got put into a position because the guy before me was inept. He got relieved for cause. I don't care how we got here. We know the problems. We all know the problems now. We saw the numbers. You even said 3% of zero is zero. $500 million, that's a $500 million. And then to find out it was $700 million off tonight from 2 weeks ago, that's even worse. Fix the problem. You know the problem. Fix it. I hope you all ran for the positions you were elected for, so you could do good by the city. Here is your golden opportunity to take it by the reins and fix it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak? If not, could I have a motion to close the public hearing? A motion by Councilman Lattice, seconded by Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Public hearing stands closed. If we could have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We'll put a, second, all those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Council meeting stands adjourned.